This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat, 587 and a quarter down one. March, 589 and a half down a half. December wheat, the soft variety, 507 and a half up one and a quarter. March, 519 and a quarter up one. December corn, 339 down one and a half. March, 352 and a quarter down one and a quarter. May, 361 down one and a quarter. July, 368 and three quarters down one and a quarter. November soybeans, 934, down 6 and 3 quarters. January, 942 and a half, down 6 and 3 quarters. March, 951, down 6 and 3 quarters. July, 966 and a half, down 5 and a quarter. October soybean meal, 326.50, down 50 cents. October soybean oil, 32.94, down 2. October live cattle, 166, up 22 and a half. October feeders, 141, 22 and a half. They're down 25. And October lean hogs, 108.50. They're up 127 and one half. Guarantee your seats at our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference on November 24th. We got straight talk from our U of I experts on the ARC PLC decision, crop insurance and farmland values in 2015, and all of our on-air analysts will be on hand to bring you the latest on marketing corn and soybeans and cash grain ideas. Get your tickets today for the meeting at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus by calling 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. Tickets are just $25 and include lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Looks like in the marketplace we have some backing and filling after Monday and Tuesday run-ups.
Well, I think so. I also think that we have some hedge pressure just starting to come back into the markets as we get back in the fields. We saw guys taking corn out around here last night. I talked to guys out in Iowa taking out corn. So it's happening, and they're taking out beans too. So, you know, I would expect. We've lacked hedge pressure ever since we had the heavy rains.
Seems like also, if you look at your technicals in November beans, there just wasn't enough energy to punch completely through the gap that was left over in the last few days.
That was really disappointing. I'll tell you, one penny is all we had to go. Now, come on, guys, you can do this, you know, but they just couldn't do it. So that remains above us, and I would imagine that is partially because, you know, we're heading into the USDA report the end of this week, and they're going to want to see once what the acreage numbers look like, which are going to be very questionable, you know, because the USDA waived all their certification penalties, and a lot of big guys that I've talked to have not certified at all. So how accurate the numbers will be, I talked with USDA actually this morning, and they said that, they're working with the FSA to try and look at prior years and to, you know, they have some of their own survey data. They've got some remote census data, and they're going to try and get it, do as best they can. But, you know, this makes for a big question in the marketplace.
Sounds like this year's number will be a little bit rougher for this time of year than in previous years.
Well, what was the word he used? It's a shame we have to put it out, you know, because it is going to be a lot rougher. There's no question. And, you know, if anybody who's been following the FSA numbers, you realize that there's definitely something not there that is normally there in other years. So it'll just make it harder, and maybe we won't actually find out the real numbers at all until January 1st, because I believe they have till December 31st to certify.
And if you look at a lot of the people who are making the guesses, the estimates, they have typically come nowhere near making a guess on that particular number, deciding to just focus their efforts on yield.
Well, that's exactly the truth. And so, you know, that'll be the big I think that'll be the first thing that most people are going to look at, of course, is going to be, you know, were there any changes? I would expect that the USDA probably would, you know, would get rid of the prevented plant acres, you know, from that standpoint, but maybe they won't. I don't know, you know, and so, yes, yield looks to be up 174.7 for corn, 47.6, I believe it is, for beans is the average guess, and so, you know, if we come in at those numbers, that'll put us just below a 4 billion bushel bean crop, you know, and at about a 14.5 billion bushel corn crop. Then the key comes down to what do they do with demand? A little scary this morning. You know, basis at the Gulf has gotten much poorer. They claim that they have way too much product down there and that export demand is slowing. So, not good news.
Well, we certainly haven't seen on the daily reporting system much in the last several days other than that one corn buy.
No, and you know, I'm not surprised by it, Dave. You know, you and I have talked before, the impact of the U.S. dollar and the type of situation that we're in. And granted, the dollar, you know, has gone up to the 86. Now it's at 85, 70 about today, you know, and just basically lumbering around this area. But the big concern, of course, is the world economies. And, you know, there's that inverse in there because crude oil is priced in U.S. dollars. So if crude oil is priced in U.S. dollars and the dollar goes higher, what does that do to all of these countries that are already struggling with their economies, such as Eurozone, you know, China, Japan, some of those places? It raises all their costs for energy and any of the associated products that use energy. And so not a good thing. Let's just put it that way. We tend to focus only on how it impacts us from an export standpoint, which is not a good thing. But in general, this could be a double kick in the pants this time just because the world economy is not as stable as we'd like to see it.
You know, one of the things that is puzzling in how the market has played to some degree is the lack of deliveries against the October soybean contract. If there's not deliveries against that meal contract, you would think that there's not enough beans to satisfy yet.
Well, you would think that. I mean, you know, it was interesting, though, if you roll back to the grain stocks report, it showed that the farmer was sitting on 23% of the old crop, you know, the remaining old crop. And so you would think there were still some beans out there, but at harvest time is never a good time to expect anybody to deliver old crop beans in. So I'm hoping maybe this gift that we've been given, a bounce higher in the bean market, maybe helps some people do that. You know, while it was raining, they said, hey, maybe I'll sell some to town. But you're right. There's no question. Hanging on tight. You know, it's no different in other countries. Argentina keeps on hanging on tight. Brazil keeps on hanging on tight. One of these days, they're going to let go. There's no question. Let's just hope it's not at a lot lower price.
Everybody is all bared up for Friday, so it makes me think that we could have a bullish surprise because that's just seems how it works. Should producers have some orders in place above the market in case something knee-jerk happens on Friday?
I would recommend that, and I have been recommending that to my guys. In fact, right before you called, I was talking to one of my guys about selling some corn, selling some beans, and why not? You know, because the reality is we still have a huge crop out in the country. And if we do get a good bounce, how great a situation does it have to be able to keep it up there? So, yes, I absolutely would have some orders above the market to make some sales on. Because, you know, the trade has that tendency. We call it the flushing effect. You know, it's like a toilet flushing. The guys who really don't know tons about what's going on, sometimes on a bullish report or what appears to be a bullish report, will just jump in there and go like wild, and they'll buy and buy and buy, and then you hear the toilet flush. And by the end of the day, it's not there anymore. So I think that this is a gift that we've gotten now because of weather. And I believe, you know, that you have to take advantage of any opportunity you've got that comes along.
Thank you, Jackie.
Well, thank you, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 339, down 1.5. March, 352, down 1.5. July, 368.5, down 1.5. November soybeans, 934, down 6.75. July is 966.25, down 5.5. October soybean meal, 326.50, down 50. October soybean oil, $32.94, down 2 cents. October live cattle, $166.10, up 32.5. October feeders, $241.80, up 32.5. October lean hogs, $108.55, up 132.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.